if you look at the booklet before you, I'm sorry I get emotional. It's because this is so near and dear to my heart. But this is where it all started. And that's the graphic. It says, "You are loved beyond measure." And by God's grace, I'm going to cover this for you because this is, I thank the Lord for this opportunity to talk to you about this truth. So this is what we're going to focus in on for about 15 or so minutes. And it's this truth that we have here. And I'm going to send you home with this truth. I'm going to send it home with you in a magnet. Some of you are going to be able to win the pictures on the table because I want this truth. And Melissa and Teresa want this truth to be with you and to encourage you and to be a reminder to you because this is true. This is from God's Word. So what I want to talk to you briefly about is the fact that you are loved beyond measure by someone. And it's not a person down on this earth, but it is by the one who made you. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Samantha, come on. I'm glad you were able to get back here for before lunch. But I have a question for you. How do you know when someone truly loves you? Is it by what they... Oh, Michelle.
It's unconditional. It's not by something you say or do.
Okay. Okay.
It's not by the way you even make them feel.
Okay. Okay. And what Michelle's talking about is the kind of love that God has. It's called agape love. A lot of our love that we call love down here, I love ice cream. Well, no, I really don't love ice cream. I enjoy ice cream, but I don't love it. Okay? And we tend to say that a lot. I love shoes. I do like shoes, but I don't love shoes. Not the way God means when he says love. He loves us unconditionally. It's not something that we can earn. So praise the Lord for that. But how do you personally know when someone loves you? Is it by just what they say?
It's mostly by how they relate to you.
Okay.
Yeah, actions.
And you know what? I want to just, I have this piece of paper here. Someone asked me the other day in one of the car lines, what should we bring? If you brought your Bibles, praise the Lord. But to save time, because we are on a little bit of a press there, I don't expect you all to turn to the Bible, but I want you to know that I will give you the references. It's from the Word of God. And you will be able to see it online and look them up yourself in the Word of God. Every verse I give you is from this book. It's not something that I have made up. So Nana said it's the way people react to you or what they do. Okay, listen to this verse and see how it says how God doesn't just tell us that he loves us. He has shown us by what he did. Now listen to what the Bible says. In 1 John 4:10, it says this, "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us." He told us this, but now he's going to show us how much he loves you. "And he sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins." Long word, don't use it too often, propitiation. But let me tell you what that means. Propitiation means that Jesus Christ satisfied God the Father's demands because of our sin. See, God is holy, and we have a real problem here, and my husband touched on it. When Adam and Eve disobeyed God, that was the entrance of sin into humanity. And God knew that they were going to do that. The Bible tells us that before the foundation of the world, God knew that he would send his son to die for us. He knew that. But he still, knowing that, created us because he loves you. He loves each one of you. But he doesn't just say, "I love you." He shows how much he loved you by sending his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's another verse that I want to say to you. But before we do, what are those times in your relationship when you find it really hard to love someone? What makes it sometimes in your relationships really hard to love someone?
Their attitude.
Their attitude? Okay.
When a person hurt you or lied to you.
Okay. Okay. All right. When they hurt you, they lie to you. Nicole?
Unreasonable demands.
Okay. Like just out of the box. And just
yeah, something that's unrealistic maybe or just can't be.
Jen?
When you're not being loved back.
When you're not being loved back. Yes?
Lack of communication.
Okay. So we all understand in our human relationships those times that it seems so hard to love someone. And yet the Bible, when we're dealing with God and His love for you, it is so much greater than human love. Listen to what it says. In Romans 5:8, it says this word. It says, but God commendeth. And all that word means is He proved or He showed. How did God show you individually that He loves you? Okay, the Bible will tell us the answer. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners. Okay, what do sinners do? They lie. What do sinners do? They have unreasonable demands. What do sinners do? They break trust. They hurt you. We do all those things. How many of you have done those things in your relationship? How many of you have lied? How many of you have done all of those types of things? And you see, it makes us difficult to love, and yet because God, He is greater than all of that, while we were yet sinners, while we were like that, while we were deep in our sin, the Lord knew all that. He said, here it is, I prove my love toward you, that while you're like this, you sinful people, me, while Becky is a sinful person, God sent His Son to die in your place. To die in your place. Now that's love. So see, it's not just that God tells me that He loves me, but He does. But He proved that He loves you by sending His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And just in case there's someone in this room who isn't sure who Jesus Christ is, I'm just going to take a minute to tell you who is Jesus Christ. Well, let's just ask you. If someone said to you, who is Jesus Christ? In fact, I had this happen to me one time in Portland, Oregon. It was a wide open opportunity. It was this Jewish man, and his name was David. And my kids went to Jonathan, his friend, as a teacher. Isn't that cute, Jonathan, David? But anyway, so we are walking, and I've been praying for this man. And he was a piano player. And we were walking. I was walking. He was going to lunch. And so I said, could we walk together? And he said, yes. So we're walking down the streets in Woodstock, Oregon. And he said to me, so why did Jesus Christ come to this earth? Well, let me tell you. First, let me tell you who Jesus Christ is. He's the Son of God. We celebrate Christmas when we remember that Jesus was born as a baby. And what that meant is that God sent His Son into the world through Mary, the Virgin Mary. A woman that God recognized was someone who loved and feared the Lord. Jesus Christ was born in the town of Bethlehem. He took upon Himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. What does that mean? He had a body. He was a real person. He slept, He ate, He talked, but He never sinned because He's God. But you see, in order to save us from our sins, we had to have someone die in our place. And that someone is Jesus Christ, but He's not just a someone. He's God and man. He says, sinless man came to take your place on the cross. And He is completely God, all at one time. And so, when Jesus came to this earth, He had one purpose for coming, because He loves you. And you see, sin is a problem. If you were going to give me a definition for sin, what would you say? What is sin?
Separation death. From God.
Okay, separation from God. Someone said death.
Think, say, or do that's against what God said.
Maybe your kids have come home from NBT this week and they have said that to you. Anything, let's say it together, anything you think, say, or do that's against God's word, God's law. You know, I've never been in NBT, but I did had the opportunity to hear a Chinese little boy say that answer to me one time when I was doing a Bible study with him. And I said, what is sin? And he said, anything you say, think, or do. That breaks God's word. And I looked at him and I said, Frank, where did you learn that? He said, at NBT. Praise the Lord, your children are here, but maybe they've talked to you about that. But it's anything we say, think, or do that breaks God's word, and we all are sinners. The Bible tells us that. But you see, there is a major issue with sin. What sin does is it's going to disqualify us from heaven. We are not going to be allowed into heaven because God has one standard. Melissa said, you know, when we compare ourselves among ourselves, we're not wise because our standard is Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of that glory of God. And God's glory, God's standard, ladies, is holiness. And because we are sinners, you know, sometimes you can look around in the room and think, well, I'm not that sinful. That's disobeying. That's denying what God says. It's comparing myself. But the Bible says we all have sinned and we fall short. And you know, it doesn't matter if I fall short way down here or if I fall short right here. It really doesn't matter. I fall short. And because God wants to show how much He loves you and me, He sent His Son. And what did Jesus do? The Bible tells us that. It says He carried our sins on His body on the tree. Not just my sin, but your sin. Not just our sin, but the sins of the whole world, of all people, of all time. So Jesus came for that purpose. There's a verse, and I try to use this because it was changed my life. It's found in your Bible when you get home, and on the website, it'll be there for you. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Listen to what it says. God the Father made Him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us. And Jesus knew no sin, that we might receive the righteousness of God through Him. So what does that mean? That's a lot of words, a lot of hymns. Okay, so let me just describe it to you this way. I grew up in Minnesota. I went to church every Sunday. I was baptized as a baby. I took communion. I had confirmation. I had all that. Okay? I thought it was fine. In fact, the day I was confirmed, have any of you ever been confirmed? Okay, so some of you understand what I'm saying. On this particular Sunday, I wore a white robe. I had a red carnation right here. My name is Rebecca Ellen Schmeichel at that time. And they rang a bell. They say your complete name. They rang the bell, and I stood there, and I thought, this is as holy as I can get. And I really meant it. But it wasn't true. I was religious, but I hadn't been saved. It was that summer, right before I turned 14, and on my 14th birthday, someone shared with me, Becky, religion won't save you. That baptism won't save you. That confirmation won't save you. That Lord's Supper or communion that you took, that doesn't save you. She said, you need a relationship with Jesus Christ. And she explained it to me this way, that when the Lord looked at Becky Schmeichel's life at that time, what God saw was Becky and all of her sin. When I turned 14th on August 20th, 1958, so this would have been 1971, I knelt by my bed and I confessed to Jesus Christ that, you know what, Lord, I am a sinner. And you died in my place. And I asked Him to forgive me of my sins and be my Savior. And you know what? He didn't just take away my sins because He paid for them all. He also, this is very important, clothed me with His righteousness. Now when God the Father looks at Becky, now it's Schlegel's life, He sees not Becky anymore. He sees the righteousness of His Son. And you know, ladies, there's your safety and security. It's not that how I live my life keeps me safe. It's the fact that Jesus Christ has paid it all, and He covers me with His righteousness, and I am accepted now through Christ. So once, you know, there's a Bible verse that says, the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Jesus came because He wants to seek and to save each one of you. And He came and He fully and completely paid all the penalty for all your sins, past, present, and future. And but there is a reality here, ladies, that though Jesus Christ is seeking you, you haven't allowed yourself to be found. You've kept yourself from coming to the one who can save you. And I just really want to ask you, do you know with really confidence in your heart that I have recognized that I am a sinner? And that, number two, my sin disqualifies me. I miss the mark of God's standard. And that no matter, you know, the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. What that verse just means is that I can't work my way to heaven. And you can't either. And maybe there's some people in here, maybe they're trying. Maybe you're trying. You're really, really trying hard. You're really trying to be a good person. And you're really trying even maybe to be a religious person. because you can't. You can't work your way to heaven. It's a gift that God gives through his son. So I'm going to give you gifts today. In fact, Samantha's already earned, not earned, you didn't earn that gift. You get that gift, and she is going to have to do something with that gift. What is she going to have to do with the gift? Take it. Yeah, she's going to have to take it. Absolutely. And you know what? Jesus Christ offers forgiveness of sins and eternal life, and you need to take the gift. It's not enough to know it about here. You have to receive Christ and recognize, you know what, Lord? I am unlovely. I don't measure up. That's one thing, Teresa, when we met the first time. We don't measure up, ladies, in God's standard. But Jesus knows that, and he's already paid it, and he stands and he offers life to you. And I just want to share you with you just a couple more verses, and then we will be done. Oh, perfect. Once a person realizes, you know what, Lord, I have never received you as my Savior. And you recognize that. You know what? You can receive Christ as your Savior today. It's not, you don't have to be in a certain place or anything like that. What you need to do is recognize, my sin is a problem. It's an affront to a holy God. And my sin is not going to be allowed into heaven. If sin was allowed into heaven, what would heaven become like? Yeah? It wouldn't be heaven anymore.
Just like earth.
It would be just like earth. And ladies, I'm looking forward to heaven. But we're here now, and we're here to share the truth of Jesus Christ with you. And I really believe in my heart that there are some in this room that don't know Jesus as your Savior, and I don't want you to leave without understanding that. You know what he says? Come to me. He's paid it all. And when you come to Christ, there's a couple more verses because these are really overwhelming, over-the-top kind of verses. The Bible's full of them. But once a person asks Jesus to save you from your sin, do you know what the Bible says about his love? I have a question. Once a person trusts Christ as your Savior, what can separate you from God's love?
Nothing.
And you know what the Bible tells us? That listen to these verses. Once you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you've believed his love for you, this is what it says. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, there are some hard things that are present, nor things in the future, things to come, shall be able to separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Once you have Jesus as your Savior, nothing can separate you from his love. Nothing. God does not lie. And then there's one more I want to share with you because we're talking about measurements today and the things we use to measure. Listen to this verse. In Ephesians 3, it says, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that's the faith, receiving Christ as your Savior, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, should grow up, that you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ. See, ladies, you can't measure God's love. It's immeasurable. It goes beyond description, and it's not earned. It's received. It's unconditional. You know, we've all blown it. We've all messed up. Everyone in this room. We've all come short of God's standard. And all he says is, come. Come to me. I paid it all. I love you with a love that you could never measure. And nothing can separate you from my love. He just says this, come. So before we go to the next room, I want us just to take a minute and bow your heads. And I'm not going to put anyone on the spot. I just want you to think. That's all I want you to do, is just think. As you think about your life right now, in your heart right now, would you say, Becky, I know for sure that I have trusted in Christ alone, his death, burial, and resurrection for my sins. I know that I have done that. And I have confidence today that because of what Christ has done for me, that I have eternal life. If you know that for sure, without any hesitation, would you just raise your hand? All right. Now, many people didn't raise their hands, and I really appreciate that because it means that you're trying to think and be honest. You know, we don't fool anyone. We're not here wanting anyone to pretend. The Lord Jesus knows everything. He knows your heart. He knows everything about us. Praise the Lord. And he still loves us. And so if you're sitting here today and you say, Becky, I couldn't raise my hand because I don't think I do know Christ. That's why you're here. And I just would say, go ahead and just look up at me. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for your word. Father, you've given us everything we need for life here on this earth and everything we need to have life with you in heaven. Thank you for sending the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for his love that was demonstrated, not just in being sent, but in going to the cross and carrying all of our sins and shouldering, receiving all of your wrath and judgment that we can't even begin to understand. Thank you, Father, how he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And the reason why you had to turn your back on your son is because he was carrying my sin and the sins of the whole world. So, Father, I pray for your Holy Spirit to work mightily to draw the lost to you, and we'll praise and thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, ma'am.
This came over my heart while you were speaking. That also, once a person accepts Jesus Christ in their life as their Lord and Savior, that he don't want us like she was given a gift. She should also use it.
Mm-hmm.
And he want us, once we accept him in our lives as Jesus, as our Lord and Savior, the love that he's shown and given to us, he want us to spread it and give it to others. It's in the Bible, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature to save lives and souls for the kingdom of heaven.
Amen. And you know, we can get so distracted down here in this earth, can't we? We live for all the wrong reasons. So what we are going to do, I know that some of you looked up, and you know who you could talk to. You can talk to Teresa. You can talk to Jen or Tonette or Melissa, myself, Kathy Gable, whoever is at your table, because we really want you to leave here a baby in Christ. Someone who knows for sure you know it, Lord. You've saved me from my sins. I've been given new life today. It's real, ladies. It's real. So let's pray for lunch. We're going to open the doors. You go across the hallway. Kathy Gable has this wonderful spread for you. Grab your coffee. Get your water. Everybody come back in here. And we'll continue on. So, Lord, thank you for this food we're about to receive and those that prepared it. Bless these ladies in our fellowship time. And we just thank you for this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, quickly, though. Don't talk in lines. Get your food and then come back and talk.